All right, Devosei, so let's continue. So we're picking up on the bottom of page Yud Aleph. So remember, again, we're focusing here on the centrality of Emunah. You know, it's just, did you see, you sent me that text that has to get to the show. It's amazing how it appears out, like in all the different Svarim, that's learning all the different shiurim. Everything is coming back to Emunah. Right. Thank you very much. It's an incredible, incredible thing. So let's take a look. Im adam eno shomea yisod zemer rabosav. So if a person doesn't learn about Emunah from his teachers, yochol hu b'meshech bochayev lenasos pam kan, pam sham, kan hu machmir, kan hu menasa ligmo chasad, aval sof kol sof chasir lo karka mutzake shaleha kol. This is actually incredible yisod. Without Emunah, and again, we haven't even really defined what Emunah means in a full sense. But without Emunah, a person doesn't have proper spiritual foundation. So that's why, you know, if you think about this, by the way, I think we often struggle with this in terms of, it's like, what's a priority in my Yiddishkeit? What's the priority in my Yiddishkeit? So is the priority to be a Baal Tzedakah? Is that the priority? Well, to be the greatest Baal Tzedakah I can be, then I'm going to spend all of my time in the office. So obviously some people like that because that becomes like the religious license to just, you know, but it's like a hashkafic question. So is that my tachlis to be a Baal Tzedakah? Is my tachlis to be a real Talmud Chacham? In which case, maybe I should spend less time, not just in the office, but maybe even less time devoted to other cloud or community matters and focus more of my time on myself? Or is it my job to be a cloud Jew and to figure out how I'm going to help every single person or every single organization that exists? There's often this lack of clarity as to what is my spiritual mandate. What am I supposed to do? The Mechaber Patnabos, some of that is just, that's just the ambiguity in life. Meaning, because understand what's at the foundation of that question is what's my tachlis. Right? You know, I mentioned this in a different shir, which is I often feel that after 120, this is not an often feel, this is fact. After 120, each of us has to give a cheshbon for how you live. You have to give a cheshbon. A Kadosh Baruch Hu was going to say, you know, this is your life, what did you do? Let's talk about how you lived your life. So people often think that like the scariest thing is being confronted by your chatoim, by your sins. So I don't think that's the scariest thing, because this is Rabbi Yitzchak brings this down. He says, you know, when a Jew is confronted by his sins, he has a very simple answer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's true, I sinned. I'm not even going to argue it. But you created me. And you created me with frailties, and you created me with desires, with wants, with proclivities. So look, if you're going to hold me accountable, I'll own my part, but I think you should own your part, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, I don't know how that conversation goes exactly. I don't know what that, but if you think about it, by the way, if you think about it, it's a very strong argument. They're saying, I'm going to own, look, I have bechira, I have free choice. So I quote unquote, you know, I pulled the trigger on every single sin. I did it, so I own it. But just understand, it's not what I would have wanted. Meaning, if I was creating me, I would have created me without this Yetzirah, without that Yetzirah, without this, without that, without these faults. And I would have done the right thing. You put all of these things in me. So therefore, by definition, you have some level of responsibility. So the Rebbe says, Rebbe Yitzchak, Rebbe Yitzchak posits that is a good taina to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So says the Rebbe, so what's the taina? What's the claim that leaves us speechless? So he quotes the famous Maaseh from Rav Zusha, right? Rav Zusha of Anipoli. So Rav Zusha used to say that when I get up to Shema after 120, I'm not nervous that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to say to me, Zusha, why weren't you Moshe Rabbeinu? I'm nervous he's going to ask me, what? Zusha, why weren't you Zusha? And the Rebbe says, the greatest fear of a Jew is that after 120, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, fine, we'll square away your sins, I'm at fault, you're at fault, fine, we'll call it even. And I definitely see you tried your best, but let me show you something. And that's something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows us is the person we could have been. So now, I know the person I became, and it shows the image of the person I could have been. And when I say could have been, by the way, I don't mean that like I could have been the Gadol Hador. I don't think most of us are that far away, but there is that, we all live with that unactualized potential. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to show us that image of the person we could have been, the life we could have led. And the scary part is, when you're seeing that image, there's nothing you can do about it anymore. Meaning, that's it. The story's over. The narrative is over. Life has come to an end. And that's the greatest pain for the neshama. So I think, inevitably, there, unless you're like Moshe Rabbeinu, there's always a little bit of a difference between the person I was and the person I could have been. For some of us, those two images, you know, are thousands of miles apart. And for some of us, they're just, you know, a few feet apart. Either way, there's existential pain for the neshama, because the neshama realizes that it has untapped potential. And now, again, it's done. That's why, you know, I've often thought, Gehenna, you know, we don't believe like in Christian hell, you know, even though the Gemara talks about fires and things like this. But have it though, like, imagine living for all eternity knowing that you didn't actualize your potential. Imagine living for all eternity having in your mind the image of the person you could have been, but also the image of the person you were. And that's what you have to live with. I think, like, Ein Gehenem Gedol Mizo, to have to live with that. So the goal is to try to reconcile those two images as much as possible in life. And this leads to an existential question, which is, so what is the ultimate image that I'm aiming for? And I will say, that's the great question of life, because I don't know what that image is. Meaning, how do I know that my job wasn't to be a captain of industry, to make $10 million and to support all the... You don't know it. How does the captain of the industry know that his job wasn't to be a Rosh Hashanah? We don't know. We don't know. So all we can do is we try to figure it out and try our best. But, like, what's your navigation device for finding the answer to this? So the Mechaber posits, this is Emunah. Emunah sets the foundation for all spirituality. Without Emunah, I don't know. I'm building on uneven ground. And when you build on uneven ground, depending on how the ground shifts, how the ground settles, will determine what your final edifice looks like. This is a very important yisod. So it's not just that Emunah is something nice, Emunah is something beautiful, something to aspire to. Emunah is the stabilizing foundation of spiritual life. And if I don't have it, it's quite possible that I'm just building all the wrong things. He goes on, Zohi, imkein ikr nekuda sahel l'masher bolaminu. Remember again when we started this section, so the Mechaber said, if you remember, that the word olam shares the same root with he'alam. He'alam means hidden. So the world is obscured. Life is obscured. Hamachshava shebnei adam choshvin shekvarach shu'es hamunah v'hi etzlam kemunachem b'kis. The greatest he'alam, the greatest thing that's hidden in this world, is a number of things. First of all, God is often hidden. We'll say, even bigger than HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, we're often hidden. And we're often hidden from ourselves. You know, this is, in general, like when you begin to learn these type of svarim, like Bilvavi and Gane Emunah, svarim that really begin, you know, you think to yourself, it's so much easier just to learn like Hilchos Shabbos. You know, just, okay, I can't cook. I got it. I can't carry without an Erev. I got it. It's so much easier because it doesn't force, you're growing, I'm learning, but it doesn't force me to challenge my life. And it doesn't force me to challenge my value system. And it doesn't force me to challenge the direction of my life. And it's so much easier to go into learning and say, wow, really interesting, really nice. Okay, let me get back to life now. The problem, and it really is, it's not like a problem with svarim like this, is you leave and like, I'm not sure. Like, first of all, I don't even know what Emunah is yet. So we haven't even gotten to that yet. But I don't even know, like, if I don't have Emunah, do I have a foundation? Do I not have a foundation? If I don't have a foundation, I've spent decades building up a persona, building up a life, building up an identity. Is it the right identity? Not the right identity? I would say, like, these are major questions. You know, these are the kind of questions where if Chas V'Shalom, I'm wrong, the stakes are so high. So he goes on, he says, this is the he'alam. This is all that's hidden. And sometimes Emunah itself is hidden. A person thinks that they have Emunah, but they might not. Take a look. Page Yud Beis. Naskil, page Yud Beis. So again, we're going to go through steps. The first step is, he says, the most basic level of what we'll call Emunah Pshuta. Simple, straightforward Emunah. And this Emunah, hopefully, is Emunah that even a child understands. Shekol echad me'itonu yodea, umayi Emunah shalat tzarach adam la'avod kol yimei chayof. Baufen klali, yesh ba'adam yedios v'chush shel tfisas mitzios shel havaya. So what does this mean? So a person ultimately knows, has a tfisa, in terms of the mitzias of existence. Now, in this case, this hey vav yud hey doesn't really refer to Shem Hashem. It refers ultimately again to the existence of God. So most of us, we recognize the existence of God. So let's explain this very simply. Lidugma, Adam Yodea Shechamish Va'od Shmona Shavish Loshasre. The person knows 8 plus 5 is 13. Okay. Zogi Yediyah Shebihiyosa Yelet Katan Hulo Yada. So remember, when I'm a little child, a young child doesn't necessarily know that because they didn't learn math. Limdo Oso, so the child learns math. Va'ata Baruch Hashem Yodea Oso. So what happens? So, you know, I'm not born with that knowledge that 8 plus 5 equals 13. I have to learn it. But Baruch Hashem, after I learn it, I now have it. It's part of my knowledge base. Lu'umazos, la'adam yeshnam yad v'regel. A person has a foot and a hand. Or say hand and a foot. Hu yodea shiyesh liyad. Is a person aware that he has a hand? Hu yodea. Of course, a person knows. About hayidia shiyesh yad. Alright, so this was a, here we're gonna get into something very interesting. So the fact that a person knows that there is a hand, it's what he calls a nekuda chitzonis. It's a knowledge outside of the individual. We'll say, so let me read this paragraph and then we'll explain it. Reishis lifneakol yesh lo yad v'zohi etzem hamitzius v'hu chash es etzem hamitzius. In other words, the natural state of affairs is, the first step is, I have a hand. After I have a hand comes the recognition that I possess a hand. Meaning, that recognition is one step more developed. Right? A baby has a hand. I'm assuming a baby is not aware, doesn't understand the fact that it has a hand, it can manipulate it. But the idea, the knowledge that I have something is something that occurs later on and is external to me. He goes on, he says, on the flip side, a person doesn't have a hand, so meaning he doesn't need external knowledge that he doesn't possess a hand, but rather, again, from his physical reality, he understands this concept. See what the Mechaber is talking about? He's seeing that in life, there's like these two states. There's the de facto state, and then there's the knowledge state. The de facto state is what occurs first. If I have a hand, so by definition, my knowledge that I have a hand is because it exists. It's an appendage of my body. It's not an additional conscious process. But then there's a more developed idea that I have a hand. That represents an external recognition of a reality that already existed beforehand. This will make a little bit more sense in just a moment. Kolomar, yeshnam shei chalokim baza. In essence, there are two parts to a person's awareness. Reishis kol, kayim ba'adam hachush, ba'amitas hametzius. The first step is that a person, the right way to translate this, that a person has a chush, an awareness, ba'amitas hametzius, an awareness of reality. It's not really the right translation, but, all right, a what? Existential, but this is not even, we're going to get to existential. This is like just an innate understanding of my state of being. Meaning, even before I could articulate that I have a hand, I know it because it's part of the reality. It's part of the reality of
sensed
reality. Good. Maybe that's better. A sensed reality as opposed to an understood reality. So I know, meaning I know it. I know it even before I could articulate it. I know that it's there. Chush ba'amitas hametzias. It's a sensed reality. V'nosaf alkach. Now, one step further is an intellectual awareness about that same reality. So the reality is the same. Just the first one, I think it's a good formulation. A sensed reality, in other words, it's the chush ba'amitas hametzius. This is my sensed reality. I understand it to be true even before I could articulate it or explain it, versus the intellectual reality, which then
we were. I understand it to be true. That's the second. I'm saying is the second.
Correct. I know it to be true.
Sense it to be true.
Correct. I know. Maybe know even it. Know. Right. Maybe even sense. Knowing it is the wrong word because knowing is a function of intellect. Right. I sense it. Good. I sense the reality versus understanding the reality. Now, what does this mean? He says, Baruch Hashem, kol echad me'itanu zocha v'yodea sidia ki yesh baruch. Well, this is actually quite beautiful. So all of us know that there is a God, and we believe that there is a Chalish Baruch Hu. So let's go back now and plug this in. Let's plug in our awareness or understanding of God into the mashal we just gave before. See where he's going with this? When it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we all believe in God, but is that a belief that emanates from sense, or is that a belief that emanates from knowledge? So he says, listen to this, La'ezu zug niton l'shaycha, ha'im zu yediyah, me'in ha'yediyah, shechamesh fa'ot shmona shavash l'shasrei. Is my knowledge of God like a mathematical equation? Like 8 and 5 is 13. I was saying, I don't know if 8 and 5 is 13. Because at some point in time when we were in school, what we did was we used our fingers and we went ahead and we counted it out. So I demonstrated myself that this is, I know it's true. I know it's true. But the way I arrived that it's true is through an intellectual understanding. Or is my understanding and perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu just based on the fact that I sense Him? There's a sensory understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You must hear this distinction. Is my knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu intellect-based, or is it sense-based? Is it something that I feel, or is it something that I know? Now, look at this next paragraph. Hasama min Nirvadik Zatzal, Chiber Sefer B'Shem Madrega Sa'adam. So the Saba of Nirvadik wrote a Sefer called Madrega Sa'adam. Ubohu Meva'er Ba'arichus, So remember again, the Mechaber said that there is a yediya of Metzios, there is what we'll call this intellectual understanding, or intellectual understanding of reality, and a sensory understanding of reality. These worlds are dramatically different. You know, understanding something intellectually is very important, beautiful. When you intellectually understand something, you understand it on a very specific plane. The one thing that intellect will never give you is a true, deeper understanding of what the essence of the item is, or the entity is. Adam, page Yud Gimel. Adam Mesugal Lishkoach Sheyesh Lo Yadayim. Excuse me, Adam Eino, Mesugal Lishkoach Sheyesh Lo Yadayim, Sheyesh Lo Raglayim. A person can never forget that he has hands, that he has feet. O Shu Ro Veshamea, Elu Dvarim Shuchash Osam Korage. See, hear the difference? Something that you understand intellectually, you could forget. You could forget. Could I have a momentary blank when if somebody asks me 8 plus 5? Okay, so the truth is, probably as an adult, you're not going to... But again, can I forget my multiplication tables, you know, in a moment? It could happen. Because I don't know that. Bechosh, that's not part of my sensory experience. It's part of my intellect. Things that you know intellectually, you could forget. The things that you know because you sense them, because you feel them, because there's that chush, you can't forget that. No one ever says, you know, I forgot about my hand, so I let the car door slam on it. You know, no one ever, someone else could do that to me. No one ever forgets those pieces. In other words, you can't forget something that is innately a part of you. You can't forget something that was externally introduced to you. So knowledge that I did not possess, that I then acquired, I can't forget. Knowledge that is inherently a part of me, a part of my, we'll call it my sensory experience, that you can't forget.
What about the idea that even 8 plus 5, forget about it, you forget it. You have to actively think about that to get to the answer. While, like you said, with the hands and stuff like that, it's always there. It's always in your mind. Like, you never, like, get your hand cornered. It's always a part of you. I feel like he was trying to maybe go
I think it's one and the same. I think because something that is external is not a part of me, I must be consciously aware of it in order to retain it and recall it. Masha Inkin, something that is part of my sensory self, it's reflexive. Right. It's reflexive. It doesn't mean I know exactly what to do. You see where he's going with this. Zohi hadarga ha'amita shel emuna. Now we're beginning to see. You know what emuna is? Emuna is a sensory relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't know if that's the right term for it, but it's a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not just that I know, because knowing is your intellect. It's a relationship that I feel. It's an innate awareness that I possess. And again, that's why the mashal with the hands and the feet is the same way. The same way that I'm ever aware of my hands and my feet, That's what emuna is. I am aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Admitas himatzo yisbarach, hi ametzios ha'amitis biyoser sheyeshna. We'll say, the constant sensory or sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in my life is the highest awareness that one could reach. Ushar kol advarim harehem nivroim. Rak HaKadosh Baruch Hu haynu kadmon. Haya ho veviyya vikulanu kan nivroim. So remember again, part of this is a recognition that all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning the reason that I can be tied almost innately with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The reason why I can have like this sensory experience, this hands and feet relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is because I'm an appendage of God. Meaning, what my hands and feet are to me, I am to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I am an extension of the Ribbono. I come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's the Borei, He's the Creator, I'm the Nivra. I have a spark of Him with me, therefore I am an appendage of His. So the same way that I am consciously aware of my hands and feet, so I'm consciously aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. He goes on, he says, Nimsa, Shamatzios Ha'amites Ha'muchlechtes Ha'kayemes, Hi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Be'etzem. Meaning, the greatest awareness that we potentially possess in life is an awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hametzios shalanu hi mishanes, mashnes, mischadeshes. So ultimately, again, that our metzios, so he's segueing a little bit over here into the notion of Borei Nivra, which we spoke about a lot in the first sefer, of being a creator versus being a creation. V'manachnu ma'avchonim es atzmenu ki metzios, alachas kama v'kama sha'alinu lachush es ribon shalom ki metzios. If I view myself and I'm a creation as a reality, then if I'm a reality and I'm the creation, how much more so of a reality the creator himself must be. Ki halohu metzios yoser kiduma. Because at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ultimately, again, if I exist and I am the creation, then of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the creator, exists as well. Let's do one more paragraph. Ukishamuna tia lo rak besichlo, velo rak belibo shel adam, menekudah shel oros ve'slavos. So here's the amazing part. You see, we often think that the goal is to experience emuna in my heart, not just in my seichel, not just in my mind. The Mechaber is introducing something dramatically new. The goal is not just to feel like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or not to sense HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your mind or in your heart. There's a higher level. Rather, the Ribbono Shel Olam is supposed to become part of just my innate sensory consciousness. Ribbono Shel Olam is just part of me. There's no meaning, there's no intellectual, there's no heart sick, there's no heart, there's no intellect. There's just a reality that exists within me. That reality is called the Kodesh Baruch Hu. As Yoda Ne'emana, Kitzoat Hu B'Derach HaNechona B'Avodas Hashem. When a person begins not just to believe or not just to be aware, but to be able to sense HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the same way that I sense my extremities, that ultimately, again, is the beginning of Emunah. He goes on, he says, U'mikan ve'elach yikabo mabat shoneh, akol avodas Hashem shelo. And from this point forward, after a person has this type of sensory experience with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then a person will begin to ultimately go ahead and change his perspective in life. So an incredible yisod. A very, obviously, we've defined it. The good news is we've defined it now. How you get this is a much bigger question. But at least now we've defined for the first time what emunah means. And emunah is so difficult, I mean, because it's not an intellectual, nor is it a heartfelt experience. It's a chush experience. It's something I'm supposed to feel innately, almost as a sensory, as a sense within me, the same way that I'm aware of my extremities, I'm aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I just want to point out, just for the sake of intellectual honesty, not everyone agrees with this approach. I mean, like, for example, the Rambam takes a very dramatically different approach to Emunah. Like, the Rambam's approach to Emunah is through nature. That a person should look, a person should look at nature, and through nature, through recognizing the vastness of nature, a person comes to a recognition of the vastness of God. Now, it makes sense because from a Maimonidean perspective, the Rambam was very much a stressor of the intellect. So I'm just pointing, Rav Soloveitchik, in his essays on Tefillah, quotes this Rambam. See, he calls this concept of seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I think he calls it like the experiential medium. See, he quotes, Rav Soloveitchik quotes William James. And William James says, you know, when one stands under the starlit sky, under the vastness of the nebula, one feels the breath or the whisper of infinity against the nape of his neck. Because it's a beautiful, but the idea is, the Rambam saying, no, this is not hands and feet. This is not hands and feet. This is look at the cosmos. Look at the complexity of the world. And when you see how complex the world is, you see the greatness of the Creator. So I'm just, and again,
does that mean he's still involved? Could be, yeah, that maybe he made a beautiful big world.
So obviously part of that is a cultivation of an emunah that I'm mechadish betuvo b'chol yom tamim ha'sabrish, consecrated. I'm just pointing out to you that harbe drachem yesh lamakam, you know, that not every, happens to be, I think, that I, personally this speaks to me very much, and I think it speaks to our generation very much, and I'll tell you why. We spoke about this before. The greatest challenge that we have to our Yiddishkeit today, and I think I mentioned this in the past year, it used to be the challenge was observance. The challenge is no longer observance, right? That's no longer our challenge, because the truth is you could be whatever you want in today's society and be an observant Jew. There's no, Baruch Hashem, it's incredible. Our challenge is Judaism has become so intellectualized that we've lost the heart of Yiddishkeit. That's our challenge. We are learning more. You know, people often have like this beautiful, like idyllic picture of the shtetl, right? That the pre-war shtetl, everybody was learned and everybody was a tzaddik. In the pre-war shtetl, almost everyone was ignorant. Most people were illiterate, and the only people who learned were the people who showed any kind of promise, like the stam balabas. Today's balabas is of such a different caliber, I think, than any balabas throughout history. You have people who learn dakyomi, who were koveitim latora, but have significant. Where did you have that? I'm saying, where did you have that? Where a person was spending time in the base medrash. We live in unparalleled times. So our challenge is not observance. Our challenge is not learning, because there's so much learning available. Our challenge is the heart of Yiddishkeit. We've lost a little bit of the heart. We've lost a little bit of the soul. We've become so complex, so smart, so well-versed. You know, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik writes about the Zichzal Bacharais, and I think I mentioned everything to you by now, but he says so beautifully, he said, you know, if you were to ask a woman from the last generation, and not even mean, see, we're like the last generation. I don't mean our kids, not even us, but let's say the generation before us, you'd ask a woman, why do you light Shabbos candles? Right? So she would say, because my mother lit Shabbos candles. So you ask. You can ask our daughters who just can't understand. You know? So why do you light Shabbos candles? They could probably rattle off like 15 Rishonim. Well, there's a Zohar, there's a Shamil, left light one, but we light two Shalom Bayis and this, but there's a Hakir, a Chaim, and a this, and a that, and a Magic Chasid, this. Like, so on one hand, it's beautiful because there's a lot more knowledge, but there's something that's missing. There's something beautiful when a Jew says, well, this is what I do, because it's what my father did, it's what my mother did. We've lost a little bit of that, and our job is to try to reclaim a little bit of the neshama. So you see something like this, and you realize, oh my gosh, like, I've been spending all of these years flexing the intellect, right? I've been thinking all these years that the path to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through Lamdis and through this, and I realize that my goal is to feel God like I feel my hands and my feet. It's very humbling, because a person could realize, I've gone through Shas multiple times, I don't feel God like I feel my hands and my feet. And that's our goal, I'll say. That's the ultimate aspiration, to get to a point where I don't understand Kadosh Baruch Hu with my mind or with my heart, but I feel like Kadosh Baruch Hu just because I sense Him as part of my very being. All right, so we'll have to stop over here.
Thank you.